This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. For many of a certain age, learning civics and math and grammar began cross-legged on the floor in front of a big cathode ray tube on Saturday mornings. In between the Archies, Lancelot Link, Secret Chimp, Josie and the Pussycats, and other cartoons, some lessons that have stuck with us all our lives.
Conjunction, junction, what's your function?
Hooking up words and phrases and clauses.
Conjunction, junction, what's your function? I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. I know that there are lots of people who can recite all the words to these and many others, just like I still can. Schoolhouse Rock was more than a phenomenon. It was proof that TV wasn't just junk food. It was possible for there to be nutritious value. And the man behind the music, a guy named Bob Doro, he passed away this week at age 94. About 20 years ago, Jeff McCord, music director at our sister station, KUTX in Austin, wrote a memorable piece in Texas Monthly called My Hero Doro. And Jeff says Doro was born in Arkansas, but grew up in Plainview, Texas.
It was there that he got a band director that really inspired him, and he started playing music. And then over time, he discovered jazz and started leaning that way. But it took a while.
But I guess if you talk about how he's best known, it's hard to say that there's anything that he did during the course of his long career that matched what he did for television.
Yeah, and it's just the oddest thing, because he was the most unlikely person to end up doing what he did. And it's really hard to underestimate the influence that had on kids, because it was just hammered down their throats on Saturday morning. At the time, there was nothing else for kids to watch. There was no cable TV still, and it was on ABC. It was conceived as an album, really. They couldn't find anyone to write songs about math.
Yeah.
And Bob had made this weird record with sound collages, and one of the guys working on the series happened to like it. And he goes, call Bob Doro. He can write anything. and so they did. And, you know, initially, you know, here's this hip jazz musician. And he was, what? Write for kids, you know? But they convinced him that he didn't have to write down to kids, that he could
be a little sophisticated with this.
Be sophisticated and make it even a little cool. And so he did it. And no one knew what was going to happen. And I think it ran on television for over 10 years.
At least. Think about the generations. It wasn't just kids who dug this music.
Oh, no.
Maybe we should just play a little sample. Now, these were supposed to be like interstitial, almost the length of what, a TV commercial
or something. 2 to 3 minutes.
Yes, a little longer than TV commercial. Yeah. And they would just drop in during Saturday morning cartoons, for example, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, let's do My Hero Zero, which may be his most famous.
My Hero Zero, such a funny little hero, but until you came along, we counted on our fingers and toes. Now you're here to stay.
I'm trying to think of what might be similar to it, but I can't think of anything, at least in modern times, that has that same sort of cross-generational impact, really.
No, I don't think there is, and it was just such a fluke that it got on television at all, because at the time, they storyboarded one song, gave it to ABC, and it happened to hit ABC at the time when they were under a lot of pressure to do some family programming and educational programming and things like
that. Sort of to counter the charge that this had become all commercial and junk food for kids on Saturday mornings.
Right. So they just loved it, and they went with it.
Yeah.
So.
But here's the interesting thing, and you write about this in your Texas Monthly piece. This is a guy who is seriously steeped in jazz that's really kind of at the cutting edge, in a sense. And he's like the one guy who, as a vocalist, worked with Miles Davis, right?
Yes, yes. That was, you know, Bob released his debut album in 1956, and the label instantly went out of business, and the same thing happened for his second album. So he had all these false starts, but some guy had his album in the apartment when Miles Davis was there and played it for Miles, and Miles just became infatuated with it. So Bob heard about this and went to one of Miles's gigs and went up and said, hey, Miles, I'm Bob Doro. And Miles goes, play Baltimore Oriole. So he went up and played it.
Baltimore Oriole. She took a look at the mercury one day. Well, it was 40 below. No time for a lady to be dragging her feathers around in the snow.
Every time Miles would see him after that, he'd ask him to play that song. And then out of the blue, he asked him to write a Christmas song. And he did. And Bob wasn't even that happy with how it turned out. But then it ended up on a Miles Davis record.
I hope you have a white one, but for me, it's blue. Blue Christmas. That's the way you see it when you're feeling blue.
He didn't really have a major label debut until he was like in his 70s or something,
That's
right?
That's correct, yeah. There was a box set of all of Miles' material from a certain span of time.
Right.
And this Christmas song made it on there, and so did another song that had never previously been released. And because of this, Blue Note goes, wow, who is this guy? You know, and put two and two together and figured out who he was, and they called him up just out of the blue. He was 73 years old.
Oh, dream maker, you heartbreaker. Wherever you're going, I'm going your way. Two drifters off to see the world.
I was fortunate enough to spend a few days with him when I did this article. And one of the days, we drove around to two elementary schools and did these shows for these less than fully attentive kids. But, you know... But still, they liked it, and you know, he's playing an old out-of-tune piano.
And was he doing the Schoolhouse Rock numbers for kids?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exclusively. Yeah. But he's on his way back, and, like, we stop at a liquor store, and he wants to buy some wine for dinner. He's buying some wine, and this kid comes up to him and says, "Hey, Bob, Zero is my hero." And Bob goes, "Yeah, yeah," and he kind of mutters under his breath, "Jazz fans." You know, you know. So at this point, he was obligated to put that stuff in his set. And, you know, so he did. And he wrote some pretty jazzy arrangements of that stuff. And but, you know, he fully acknowledged that it helped him.
Yeah. How do you think he would feel about being known as the Schoolhouse Rock guy?
Well, I mean, he did feel that way because he was at it for so much longer after that. He played his last gig when he was 92 years old.
Wow.
And so, you know, as to how he felt, I think he was grateful. At the same time, he was a little sad that he didn't make it on his own terms. I mean, I saw him play a straight-up jazz gig. The joy on his face there compared to when he was at the elementary school, not the same at all. So a sad acknowledgement maybe, but also extremely grateful that it put him on the map in all kinds of ways.
Somewhere in the ancient mystic trinity, you get three as a magic number.
Jeff McCord, music director at our sister station KUTX in Austin. The article is My Hero Doro, and we'll have a link to it at texasstandard.org. We've been talking about the passing of Bob Doro, one of jazz's heppest cats. And he had something to do with Schoolhouse Rock, too. Jeff, good to talk with you. Thanks so much for coming in and speaking with us.
Thanks, Dick.
3 times 10 is 30. 3 times 9 is
27.
3 times 8 is 3 times 7 is
21.
3 times 6 is
18.
3 times 5 is
15.
3 times 4 is
12.
3 times 3 is
9.
3 times 2 is
6.
And 3 times 1, what is it?